Good morning. Good to see you all. Today's sermon is going to slightly awkwardly stick out in the middle of our preaching series on Jesus, our wonderful Saviour. This is because it was originally meant for next month, but we've had to change that for logistical reasons. On top of this, Nigel has generously and bravely given me the privilege of choosing my own topic for today. I can speak on whatever I like. And there are so many hot, spicy, juicy, awkward, provocative, theological, political, ethical, hot potatoes alongside personal annoyances that I have toyed with speaking on. However, after battling temptation, obviously after some prayer and thought, and trying to take into account our values, which have kind of come in right in the middle, unhelpfully, I believe today's sermon is actually an opportunity for us just to stop for a moment, to reassess some things, and then apply a vital filter, or more accurately, a biblical law, through which you can pour all of your Christmas activities, all of your thoughts, and all of your choices, both as church and as individuals, before we head into the rapidly approaching festive period and New Year. It's a filter that, if used properly, I believe will enable positive change in your Christian walk, your daily life, and in the lives of those around you. What is this filter or law? Well, let's dive straight in. We find it in a well-quoted verse written by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man, woman, pick your gender, reaps what they sow. Or, as the King James Version puts it, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Or, at the other end of the translation spectrum, the Message puts it like this. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. Whatever scriptural version you prefer to read, the core truth of the verse is always the same. And it's this core element that I want to explore today. Although I do want us to remain faithful to the scripture as per our values, I don't want to go into deep theology, as I don't believe this is the case. What is needed is action and choice. Why do I say that? It is because in many ways, this is one of the most obvious and simplest of laws to understand. Yet we've become blind to it, or can become blind to it. This is because it literally impacts almost every area of your life and every single choice we make. You do not need to be a farmer to grasp the law of sowing and reaping. You do not need to be a theologian to understand the weight of it. We're an educated people, living in an educated society in one of the wealthiest countries in the world, with or without the EU. Yet despite all these things, in our favour, we do not even scratch the surface of the potential eternal impact this law can make in our lives, the lives of those around us, and in the kingdom of God. However, before you worry, we're not just taking one verse this morning and building a shallow, theological, prosperity gospel, self-help concept out of it either. Certainly not. Let me be clear. I'm using this verse as an anchor point due to its clarity. This is a fundamental law that is prevalent throughout Scripture. As a result, we need to make sure we understand it, apply it, and then the difficult bit, live it out. Just so we start right and remain faithful to Scripture, which is one of our values, the brief context of this particular verse is this. The Apostle Paul is writing specifically to the churches, plural, in the region of Galatia. They were working through issues of legalism stemming from their heritage in Judaism. And chapter 3 of Galatians onwards is like a mini condensed book of Romans. Paul has been teaching about freedom in Christ as a Christian and living life by the Holy Spirit. He's been teaching on walking by the Spirit and the spiritual fruit that brings. He also strongly warns that those who haven't quite grasped things and are hanging on to Judaism or missing the point entirely and living out the sins of the flesh and thinking that is okay, that they will reap destruction. Please note that Paul is writing to Christians like you and me. He's not just scaremongering. He's bringing to light a biblical principle and a natural law. And he's there laying it out for everyone to clearly see. Sowing and reaping is a theme that flows prominently throughout the Bible. If you don't believe me, let me just give you a few of the many examples. We read Job 4:8. As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. Proverbs 22:8. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. Psalm 126:5. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Or Hosea 10:12. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. These are just a few different verses from both Old and New Testaments. There are lots more. It's not a principle just confined to Galatians. This doesn't take into account either the many events and stories in Scripture where it's a theme. For example, Matthew 13, Jesus tells parables about sowing and reaping and explains them. As this is the case, we need to be asking ourselves an enormous why. Why has God, in his wisdom, put so much about sowing and reaping in his word? What is the point? For us in a society where most of us don't grow our own food. My in-laws do. I can't grow food. It doesn't go well. I tried to grow some potatoes once. I put them in the ground. They came out smaller than I put them in. It was like a reverse miracle. God has put it in his word because it is so fundamentally important. It impacts everything, not just plants and fruit and veg. And as this is the case, you might find some of this sermon apparently negative and all doom and gloom. This is because it is so important. I want to stress a point this morning. And I hope you all know me well enough that I'm not generally doom and gloom. But I do want to stress a point this morning. So let's just recap the basics so we can move forward. From a nature point of view, we understand, generally except for me, that if you sow a seed in the ground, let's say some wheat, it will grow and grow, and at the right time of year, it can be harvested and perhaps made into Weetabix, although other cereals are available. It's not rocket science. We also understand that if we sow carrot seeds, we get carrots, not apples. If I plant an acorn seed, I don't grow a cat. It's basics. We learn this from very early on in childhood. We also understand that if we sow something small, it grows exponentially bigger than what was planted. And without having to change the parental rating for this sermon, if you take the equivalent tiny seeds from a male and female human and they happen to join and all goes well, you grow a person that is many times bigger than the original material and whose life impacts all those around them and beyond. You are testament to that fact this morning. So it should be no surprise to us that when we apply this to our physical life, our actions our seeds, as it were, they have consequences. And they can be far bigger than the original seed. Again, we learn this from an early age. We understand this primarily as a two-part process. If I do this, this happens. If I don't do this, this doesn't happen. If I drop my drink, it spreads out on the floor. It's now harder to deal with and has a bigger impact than if it's contained in my cup. If I keep banging my head against a wall, I reap a headache that may last longer than the time I spent banging my head against the wall. If I constantly turn up late to work and do a sloppy job, I reap unemployment, loss of income, which can lead to debt, and so on. If I eat healthy and exercise, I reap the benefits of that. If I don't, I reap unhealthiness. If I drink too much alcohol, this potentially leads to a reduction of inhibitions, silly actions, and things that I might regret later. If I drink and drive, I could reap a loss of liberty and an uncomfortable chat with the police, or even injuring others, or worse. We reap what we sow. We understand this for both good and bad things. Most of the time. Again, this should not surprise us that this law applies to spiritual sowing and reaping as well. If I read my Bible, study the Word of God, if I pray, seek God's wisdom about my day-to-day life, be obedient to God's commands and words and do what I know to be right before God, and walk by the Spirit as Paul writes, then I reap the blessing of that and the eternal impact of that. Again, we need to remember and understand that we sow something small spiritually and it grows exponentially bigger than what was planted. If I do the opposite, I reap the consequences and the potential negative eternal consequences of that. Now, I should state, I firmly believe once saved, always saved. I'm personally currently of the view that rewards in heaven may be variable. Although I'm not dogmatic on that, and open to discussion if anyone wants to chat about that later. Either way, we are called to sow well. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Although this scripture isn't necessarily linked as such, I don't want to lose out on that day because I sowed badly. Do you? The great author C.S. Lewis puts it like this. Every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different from what it was before. Another commentator writing as to the whatever a man sows writes this. The whatever would include thoughts, words, or deeds. Stop a moment and ask, what am I planting in each of these areas? We are planting seeds all day long, every day, for each day is filled with manifold choices, and each choice is either leaning towards the flesh or towards the spirit. There is no neutral field for our seed choices. I don't know about you, but I find that line quite piercing. There is no neutral field for our seed choices. You're either sowing to the flesh or you're sowing to the spirit. Just think about that for a moment. My main question to us this morning, therefore, is what seeds are you and I planting in the areas of our thoughts, our words, and our deeds at the moment? Are we sowing more to the flesh side or more to the spirit side? Be honest with yourself. Are we, as our first value states, putting Christ first in everything? This is a value that we're taking on board, that we're saying is key to us as a church. It sounds amazing. But actually, it's quite difficult. Ah, but Pete, you might cry out, we are Christians. We are Christ-like in our behaviour and lifestyle. We've been Christians a long time. Come on, we're good moral people. We're not living lives of sin and debauchery. This sermon is not relevant. Go and sit down. I'm sure that is mostly the case. I hope that is the case. Yet, in the same way, even though I am sure I have fuel in my car for my next journey, wisdom compels me to still check before I drive off, so I don't look like a fool stuck on the side of the road. I believe today is a day to check our sowing, individually and as a church. I believe today that for some of us, if not all of us, God is calling us to make some changes. To check which field you are sowing in and what seeds you are sowing. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:12, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Another of our values is to be the best we can. To do that, we need to check ourselves. If an athlete wants to be the best they can, they go over things again and again. They make changes, they check, they make changes, until they get to the best they can be. Your thoughts, actions, and words are all seeds that will grow and will have an impact, either on you, on others, or both. And it does not matter an ounce your experience, your church position, or how long you've been a Christian. Today is a day to check. One of the biggest, and I assume unintentional, lies I was taught as a child, and you possibly were too, is sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is complete and utter, well, choose your own personal strong word for that. There is an epidemic of young people committing suicide each year over comments, seeds, made by friends, parents, even sometimes the church, as they wrestle with the challenges and pressures of a messed up, liberal, yet critical, and so-called all-accepting society. These seeds grow and grow till they suddenly sprout. And the harvest, if not from good seeds sown in the right place, turns out to be rotten, putrid, and destructive. Seeds are sown by what we say and what we do. As Christians and as church, our words and actions carry great weight. If you were at the Hub, there was a chat or a talk, one of the guys was talking about being weighty people. And if you doubt that your words and actions as Christians carry great weight, just look in the media for when churches have spoken out against something. The shockwaves are enormous. The Apostle Paul calls us in 2 Corinthians 5, Christ's ambassadors. We speak and act on behalf of God to this world and creation. That has been our role since the Garden of Eden. When we speak, our words carry great weight. Even when we speak in jest, anger, tiredness, emotion, or whatever. Whether we're posting our views about something online or to a colleague about something or someone, to a family, to a fellow brother and sister in Christ, I want to challenge us this morning to consider how and what we say. Is what you're about to say at work, at home, or at church a seed sown in the right field? Many years ago, was down south, a group of my peers, we all sort of, after church on a Sunday evening, we'd go out to the local park if it was summer. We'd just sit and chat and play games and whatever. And I remember one evening, possibly even twice this happened, had some other people joined of our sort of age range came and joined us. And the group that I was with, we were very funny. We were a hilarious group. We should have been on tour with our comedy. It was great. But we would sort of tease each other. We would say things to each other in jest, and it was funny and probably slightly cutting. And we included these new people into our banter and our fun. And then we lost them because our humour, our comedy, our fun said in love actually was quite hurtful. And we didn't find this out until quite a while afterwards. But it was things that we'd said, thinking we were being friendly, thinking we were being fun, had hurt. And we lost them. So I want to encourage us this morning to think about what we say to each other, and to those around us, at work, at home. Don't just think because we're the church or we're Christian, we are immune from sowing bad seed. We can still get easily swept up in the undercurrent and stresses of the world around us, our own circumstances, our life, or even the other end of the scale with legalism and being a good Christian. Terms such as inclusivity, anti-discrimination, acceptance are thrown around in our world like a badge of honour. Yet we still live in an increasingly individualistic society. We look out for our own interests. If you don't believe me, just be really late for something and tell me how you act and what your thoughts are like when someone slows you down in a queue, on the road, or in the supermarket. Do you have immensely Christian thoughts of love and grace at that moment? No. You might not act on it. You might not say something, but it's very individualistic at that moment. It's not because we're naturally malicious, but it is a byproduct of the fallen world that we live in. So our choices and our sowing often inadvertently reflects that, many times without our even realizing it. One of our values in the DNA of Gateway Church is to be welcoming, that there is a place for everyone in the church. I know this one has been wrestled with over the last few months, and it needs to be wrestled with. Yet, I believe there may be times coming, certainly if we see revival, that there will be those that come in whose lives, lifestyles, and life choices may be at odds with our own. And they may cause us to be profoundly uncomfortable at times. As a result, we need to start sowing now into our hearts, our minds, and our plans seeds of acceptance and welcome to make sure that we can live out our values. It is too late to plant the seed when the harvest needs to be brought in. It's obvious. At harvest time, you don't go out at harvest time, God, you plant the seeds now. You go and reap the harvest. You plant it prior to when you want it to come in. This covers a whole area of our life, sowing and reaping. If you are married, are you constantly sowing seeds into your marriage to make sure it stays healthy and fruitful? Or are you relying on previous reaping and harvesting? If you have small children, you are sowing seeds into their life to impact another generation yet to come. If you are grown up, if they are grown up, you are still their parent, and you can sow into their life. Just because they have left home does not mean you cannot sow seeds. Are you still sowing good seeds? I'm working through sowing seeds in Joshua's life at the moment, trying to sow the right seeds, which is very difficult when a two-year-old is having a tantrum. What seeds do I sow at that moment? Discipline, love, forgiveness, frustration? At the moment, it's a whole host of seeds that I'm throwing in, and I'll hopefully pick out the bad ones later. I've not nailed this myself at all, but I'm working on it. The joy of doing a sermon is you have a little bit longer to work this through. If you are single, are you sowing seeds that make the most of the fact that you have more time to devote to the building of God's kingdom? Are you sowing as much as you can with your time, effort, freedom, and resources that God has given you? If you are seeking to be married, what seeds are you sowing in your life to prepare yourself for your perhaps as yet unknown partner? Are you sowing in prayer and in faith, knowing that you have a loving Father who gives good gifts? Have you sought God on your knees for his provision and wisdom in this area? Are you sowing in addressing the areas of your own life that are not only a hindrance to you, but will be a hindrance to your future spouse? Are you going to be a fertile field for your prayed for other half, or will you be full of rocks? Are you sowing in the right field to look for a future partner? Or are you just digging in any old field, hoping to stumble upon a good crop? Sow wisely, because you will reap what you sow in this area. I say this as someone, although married, I have spent most of my 41 years single and wrestling with God over this area. I've been more years single than I've lived years married. The Apostle Paul goes into detail on marriage and singleness in 1 Corinthians 7. And I would greatly encourage all of us to reread that at some point, whatever your situation. I think this is an area that we're not chatting about much in the church at the moment. The whole area of marriage, singleness, that whole thing. But it's an area that needs a lot of sowing. But Pete, this seems all harsh and miserable for a Sunday morning, you might say. Perhaps. And I'm sorry if you take offence. But I would rather offend us all and see us grow as people and a church than not. If we want to see revival, and we pray for that regularly, we need to be a people prepared. If we are not ready, then we may miss out. I think back to the last revival. Towns and villages around here have missed out. God was doing amazing stuff, and others have missed out. Are you willing to take that chance? I don't. I want to be included when the revival comes. I don't want to miss out because I wasn't ready, because I'd sowed the wrong seed, because I left it too late. I'd rather make changes now and make sure I'm good to go. And I want the same for us as a church. We need to be sowing spiritually, not just physically. Do you pray? It's easy to pray on Sunday. Do you pray the rest of the week? Do you seek God's wisdom in your life choices day by day, small and large? It's easy to ask God for big things, but we sort of forget the small things as well. Getting a parking space, yes, that's one thing, but actually there's a whole host of other things. Do you walk by the Spirit like Paul encourages us to? Some of us this morning might need to start sowing the seeds of forgiveness to counter the nasty little seed of unforgiveness, which is very destructive. Forgiveness can take a long time to grow. Perhaps today some of us need to make sure that we start sowing forgiveness so that we can reap it as soon as possible. But let's not forget the beginning of the passage in Galatians. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Or, as the commentator R.F. Weymouth writes, do not deceive yourselves. God is not to be scoffed at. God is the Most High, sovereign of all things. He sees all things. King David writes in that well-known Psalm, Psalm 139, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. God knows everything. So let's remember, if we sow sin, don't deceive yourself. God is not going to bless it. He's not going to say, oh, Didn't see that. Oh, well, never mind. Go on then. No, he loves you. He loves us too much to let these things go. He might allow you to go through something so that you grow. He might not. He can bring something good out of a mess, but he's not going to bless our sin. God knows. Nigel might not. The person sitting next to you might not. But God does. Ah, but what about Ishmael? Abraham's son, I hear you cry. Abraham sowed in the wrong field to try and sort out having a son. He took matters into his own hand. And God blessed him and God blessed Ishmael. You can read about that in Genesis 16. True. But that seed grew and grew and grew, and the world still suffers from that sowing today. Ishmael was against everyone, became the father of 12 sons, whose descendants effectively, give or take, make up the peoples of the Middle East, apart from the Jews. The Islamic faith regard Ishmael as an ancestor to the Prophet Muhammad in Islam. So that's gone well. One choice to leave God out of something that Abraham desperately wanted has impacted the world for millennia. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. This is why today we need to stop and check and make sure our sowing contains the right seeds planted in the right field. How often do we think of the internal impact of our thoughts, actions, and words? Once a week? Twice? At best? Soon to enter the Christmas period, with all its festivities and traditional overindulgence in food and alcohol and presents. It's a time where, as Christians, remember Christ coming into the world. This, alongside with family and friends, we enjoy presents, time together, lots of colourful lights and singing. And if you're like me, a mince pie or 50. And for a few weeks, go on, have another one, it's Christmas, seems to make sense. Wine and gin and tonics all round. We then roll, sometimes literally, into the new year, and the idea of New Year's resolutions kicks in, and the cost of Christmas begins to take its toll, as people regret or count up the cost of Christmas. However, the Christmas period is also a time of great difficulty for many. Although many years have passed, my mum died on the 23rd of December, so Christmas is always an odd time for my side of the family. And for many years, I haven't really enjoyed Christmas. To see others celebrating and being excessive if you've lost a loved one or have little is painful. People will see me being all, bah humbug, even in churches. Yet we all have personal battles. And again, words sown have an impact. We sow into our lives and we reap the consequences of that, but we also sow into others' lives, often without thought. Often without specifically seeking to sow into someone's life in the first place. We need to be mindful of our impact on others and others' battles this Christmas. I believe as church we need to be setting the example for this. If we start to actively consider our sowing and reaping more, we begin to gain an eternal perspective. Are we sowing prayer for salvation into the lives of those we love and are friends with? Are we sowing prayer into our nation's government as we're directed in Scripture? Again, it's easy to do at a prayer meeting or on a Sunday morning, but this needs to be a whole life thing. Are we sowing prayer into the situations around us and our life choices? Commentator Bob Deffingbaugh states, sowing and reaping helps us gain an eternal perspective. Sowing and reaping are separated by time. Sowing is the beginning of the process, while reaping is the culmination of it. When the farmer sows in his field, he must do so in faith, trusting that all of his efforts will eventually be worthwhile. Nearly everything which the farmer does, he does in the light of what he hopes to be the outcome. So it is with the spiritual life. Since this world, along with our earthly bodies, is to be done away with, why are we investing in that which corrupts? Sowing to the flesh is like buying truckloads of potatoes and putting them in a bank vault, hoping to prosper from them in 10 years' time. Nearly everything which the farmer does, he does in the light of what he hopes to be the outcome. So it is with the spiritual life. Dan, could you assist, please? Thinking you. Smithing. You just give them out, that'd be great. I wanted to give a practical demonstration of this that didn't involve dangerous chemicals or just seeds for flowers that end up in the bin. So I thought I'd do something different. My glamorous assistant here is handing out an envelope. There is one envelope for each adult and one envelope for each child. Inside your envelope, you will find a real pound coin. It is not chocolate. Do not bite it. This is now your pound coin. It belongs to you. It is legal tender. There's nothing wrong with it. You are a pound richer than when you came in. You can do with it as you wish. You can put it in the bank. You can spend it on coffee. Pay for parking. Drop it down the side of the sofa. Skim it across a lake. Whatever you want. Or can I challenge you to choose to sow it as a seed? Not literally in the ground. There is a parable about that and it doesn't go well. Sow it, but not with the sole aim or interest of making more money for yourself. Rather, sow it into someone or many people's lives. Another of our values is we have a heart to serve. But don't rush this process. I want you to sow this through prayer and thought. Nurture it with the intent of it being a blessing, financially, emotionally, spiritually. Let it grow. What do I mean by this? Pray and ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit how and where you can use it to serve someone and make a difference. For example, you could buy a card and write a message to the person who is at the bottom of the ladder in employment where you work or where you shop and say thank you for all that you do that is unseen. Set up a pot and seek to grow that pot by adding in your loose change and asking God where that pot could best be used when it's full, instead of spending it on a takeaway. Seek to grow this pound to be a gift to someone. Perhaps you've always felt passionate about a cause such as homelessness, those suffering, persecuted church, missions, food banks, pregnancy, crisis counselling, or some other area that you feel needs support. And I don't mean the Cats Protection League, although I'm sure this is worthwhile. This is a seed to bless a human life. See this pound as the humble beginnings of that. You could grow it and give it to an organisation such as Open Doors, working with the persecuted church. Perhaps it could even become a charity one day. Perhaps you or others you know are struggling with debt. Pray and offer this up to God as a seed to break out of this debt. Someone once came up to me and gave me €5. Which is really helpful in Sussex, and said, this is a seed for me to go on mission. €5, what use is that? But I prayed about that. And over a series of about a month, different things happened, and God provided the money for me to go on missions. And that kick-started me into everything else, really, for the rest of my Christian walk, as it were. €5, just someone gave up to me and walked off, effectively. This is a seed, pray about it, and walked off. It's amazing what God can do if you offer up and say, okay. You're a creative people and you have a creative Father in heaven, so ideas should not be lacking. As an aside to that, Beode a while ago challenged us in regards to sowing into the potential for our own building or even buildings plural, such as other sites like MySquin. Have any of us thought any further about that? Have any of us sown into that? Yeah, we've got MySquin, but we thought bigger. Have we sowed into that through prayer or financially? Have we written it off as an impossible or wanting to wait till later? You sow seeds now to reap later. And if you think this pound is too small to make a difference in the world of fluctuating finance and politics, where the cost of things keeps going up and the gap between rich and poor keeps increasing, please seriously consider that once a small boy in faith offered Jesus his small pack lunch, thousands ended up fed. The disciples would have sent the people home hungry as they didn't want to spend the money. Or remind yourselves in 1 Kings 17 of the widow who in the middle of a drought in the land used up the last of the oil and flour she had, safe for her and her child's last meal, to feed Elijah the prophet. She saw a miracle. The oil and flour did not run out. There are other such stories in the Bible. I haven't counted how many of us there are today. I'm guessing somewhere around 30. That should be at least 30 people outside the church that are blessed, which is double our congregation. Potentially several times that through prayer and thought, if you let that pound grow with God's help. Put it somewhere you will not lose it. Your wallet is not a great place. Somewhere that you can each day see it and pray regarding it. See what God wants to grow with it. I think you'll be amazed if you ask God how this can be a blessing to someone. Sow the seed. Pray over it. Let God grow it. You might not ever see the harvest this side of heaven, but you will reap it in eternity, if not before. Today, check the seeds that you are sowing in your life. Make sure you're sowing in the right field. If you are not sure, that's fine. But ask the Holy Spirit. Ask your brothers and sisters here in the church. We're a family. We're not always going to get it right. But ask each other. Check. Remember, weeds grow quickly. And they can look pretty, but are still weeds. And they are difficult to get rid of once you have them. A good tree takes years to grow, but it's worth it because it's strong, provides fruit and shelter for many. Which are you planting? Remember, it's not too late to plant the seed. It is too late to plant the seed, and the harvest needs to be brought in.